Today we have the rare opportunity to celebrate with a group of seniors that are about to walk through the door of graduation. And I know you guys are excited. I mean, some of you will graduate this afternoon, some of you next week, but you got to be excited, and it's worth celebrating. Anybody that completes a rigorous course of study in any measure and graduates, it's worth celebrating, and we want to celebrate with you. But I want you to understand something. There's a quote that Orrin Hatch has that helps us understand graduation, I think, a little bit better. And he said it this way. There is a good reason they call these ceremonies commencement exercises. Graduation is not the end. It's the beginning. And all of us understand that, don't we? If you've graduated, you understand that it's just the beginning of another phase of life. And it's exciting. Now, you know, I know you guys have probably worked hard. You studied hard. And I found another quote for you. And it just simply says, the tassel's worth the hassle. So whatever you've gone through, whatever you've had to put up with, congratulations. And then as you think about the future, here's a couple other things kind of tuck away. All that stands between the graduate and the top of the ladder is the ladder. So my challenge to you is to keep climbing, no matter what's going on and what direction you're going to take, to keep climbing. And then Adlai Stevenson had a great quote to college students when he said this, "When you leave here, don't forget why you came." And here's my favorite quote that I want you to remember. It's a quote by Aristotle. It simply said, "The roots of education are bitter, but the fruits are sweet." And when I thought about that quote, I thought, you know, these guys have put forth some effort and some work. And if you start trying to tally up all the energy and effort they've put together from kindergarten to 12th grade, I mean, it's pretty staggering. For example, you've attended 2,470 days of school. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? That's 494 weeks, 17,290 hours, 1,037,400 minutes invested in your education. And today, or later this week, when you throw that cap into the air, you ought to celebrate, because that's a lot of time invested. And all that time results in a lot of work. I just did a little calculation as well, and it's going to be somewhere in this range. But you have completed 4,940 hours of homework. Actually, parents, why don't you give yourself a round of applause, because you've completed 4,940 hours of homework. You've written approximately 247 papers. You've taken and hopefully passed 2,964 quizzes. And you have listened to 31,122,000 words of instruction. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? It's pretty awesome. But I want you to listen to this. Newton Baker said this, "The man who graduates today and stops learning tomorrow is uneducated the day after." Your education hasn't ended. It's just beginning. In fact, long after you take your last test and earn your last degree, your education still continues. In fact, it continues every day of your life. Now, as you look at what you've accomplished and where you're headed, a quote by Milton Berle kind of sets the stage for what I want to talk about today. He simply said this, "If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door." And from kindergarten to 12th grade, you guys have been building a door. In fact, everybody here has been building a door. And by the way, you know, as I talk to some graduates today, I want you to think about it this way. Even if you're not graduating or you graduated a long time ago, no matter what stage of life you're at, as you walk through one phase to another, you're walking through a door. And so just take the things that we talk about today and apply them to your life, where you are and what's going on in you, and I think it'll be beneficial. The fact is, you've been building a door. I mean, you've been building a door of opportunity, and that door right now stands in front of you, and you're about to walk through. I mean, you're holding the knob, you're turning it, and you're about to walk through this door. And there are five things I want you to know about this door. Number one is this. It only opens one way. No return trips. I mean, the last month, several graduates, high school graduates that have gone off to college have caught me since they finished school, and they said, "Man, I wish I was back in high school." Now, you may not feel that way right now, and you may feel like, "Man, I cannot wait to get out and get on to college." I'll just tell you this, that when you get out there and you have those feelings that you want to return, it just opens one way. Second thing, it just opens one time. This is the only time you'll graduate from high school. Number three, it only gets smaller over time. I mean, right now, what you're about to walk through, in fact, for any of us, when you're facing that next transition in your life, it may feel like the biggest thing in your life. That door is huge. But when you walk through that door and stand on the other side and start traveling, every day you walk, the smaller that door gets. I mean, let's just think about it for a minute, guys. How long has it been since you graduated from high school? Let's just get people to stand up. If it's been longer than 5 years, stand up. No, I'm just teasing. Y'all are thinking, I ain't standing up. It's crazy. Number four, it only opens up a big world. I mean, it doesn't set the path for you. It just opens the door, and there it stands before you. And then the last thing is this. It only opens for you. It only opens for you. Graduations are wild to me. I speak at a lot of graduations and baccalaureate services, and when I speak, I do a lot of preparation, a lot of work getting ready for them, but I understand this. Most people don't even listen to graduation speeches. You know, they don't remember anything that you said, even though you put all this energy into it. But something I've noticed at graduation speeches, if you listen to them, most people are talking about be your own person, be an individual, be different, and yet we dress everybody in the same stuff, same cap, gown, tassel, and everything. Dress them all up and say, be an individual. It's just kind of odd, isn't it? I'll tell you this. This door only opens for you. It may look the same. You may be wearing the same thing when you walk across the stage. You may get the same kind of diploma or degree, but I can tell you, it only opens for you. You have a life that you get to live for God's glory. Now, the question today is not when you walk. It's once you walk, which way will you go? What path will you take? Now, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you exactly what to do, what job to take, what school to go to, what decision to make along the way. I don't have that crystal ball. I don't have that kind of plan. But I do have some road signs that I want you to make note of that I think will help you along the way in your life as you live out a life that honors and pleases God. And by the way, I mean for anybody. These are just 8 great road signs, and there are many more that we could list today, but 8 great road signs that I think are very important for us as we walk through this door and we start living out our life for Jesus. The first one is this. Be wise. Be wise with your life. In 2007, I wrote a book called Don't Forget to Dream, and one of those sections in there is about making decisions. And a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you discern God's will? And as you go through that process, I can tell you this, it's always 5:15. Ephesians 5:15 is a key to understanding God's will, and this is what he tells us. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. And here's the reason, because the days are evil. Did you catch that? Look carefully then how you walk. In other words, watch what you're about to do. Watch the steps you take, the decisions you make. Not as an unwise person, but as a wise person, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I just want you to know that there is going to be, when you walk through this door, a world of opportunity to do all kinds of things. And the path you take is important. So be wise. Don't be foolish. Because there's an opportunity. In fact, there are all kinds of opportunities to go the wrong path. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to Peachtree City. A couple of members of our church were participating in a triathlon, an international triathlon, Olympic-style triathlon, where you swim about a mile, you jump on a bike right after that and ride 26 miles, and then after that, you get off the bike and you run 6.2 miles. And so I was there, you know, handing out water, cheering them on, and with some other guys from our church, which was really, really a blast. And one of the guys in our church that was a part of the triathlon, I was watching, and man, had a great swim, came out of the water, and I'm thinking in my mind, swimming a mile, that's a long way to swim. That's a long way to walk, but that's a long way to swim. Swims a mile, comes out of the water, looks fresh as could be. I mean, he's running out of the water, getting stuff ready. I mean, he's jumping on the bike, boom, he's off. And I was asking a friend of mine who's been to these before, said, okay, what should we expect? When should he be back in? He told us the time. Yeah, he's going to be back in about this time. And And so, you know, riders start coming in, and we keep watching for him, He said, man, he should be in about right now. I'm expecting him about right now. 5 minutes later went by, well, about right now. He should have already been here. And then, he should have been here 15 minutes ago. And then finally comes flying up, and I'm yelling his name. He looks over, and he's just shaking his head in disgust and said, man, he must have just died out there. I mean, he must have just ran out of energy in the 26-mile race. And so then he jumps off his bike, puts it in its place, and then puts on his shoes and takes off running. And so we go to the finish line to wait for the end, and he was running. And, man, he's flying. 6.2 miles, he's still flying. I'm like, man, I don't know what happened on the bike, but this is crazy. And we get to the end, and we go to meet him, and he said, man, you won't believe what happened. He said, I jump on the bike, and there are two races going on at the same time. There's a shorter race going on. It's called a sprint. And they take off on the same bike course, but then the course divides. He came to this one spot where the shorter course turns off, and there are two guys there that are supposed to be directing the traffic, so that if you're going on the long course, they direct you this way, and if you're going on the short course, they direct you this way. Well, they're talking, not paying attention. Here comes the guy in our church riding, and they direct him the wrong way. He's riding down the path, gets down a couple of miles, and realizes, hey, there is nobody with me. Something's wrong here. And the next guy he sees says, keep pedaling, you're almost finished. And then he knew, man, I am on the wrong course, and had to turn around and ride, instead of 26 miles, ride over 30 miles and then run 6.2. Now, I want you to understand, there are going to be a lot of people in your life. A lot of people are going to come to the intersections of your life. And you know what? They're not really going to care what happens to you. They're not really paying attention, to be honest with you. They're having their good old time. They're having their conversations. And you're going to come up, and you're going to look at them, and you're going to think they're your best friends in the world, and you're going to think they have the greatest advice in the world. You go, which way do I go? And they're just, I'll just go this way. Just go that way. And you're going to run down that path, if you're not wise, and get down there and realize, you know what? Nobody's with me. Those guys aren't with me. And you're going to have to turn around, and it's going to be a long way back home. So first thing, first road sign, be wise. Second road sign, know God. Know God. That most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. We all know it, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know it. Now, here's what's interesting about that conversation that Jesus is having. He was having it with a guy named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus literally had it all. He was respected by everybody. And in fact, when parents looked at Nicodemus, they told their kids, this is who you need to grow up to be like, Nicodemus. He was respected. He had wealth. He had wealth. He even had religion. And in that conversation, Jesus shares with him this verse that we hold dear, talks to us about having a relationship with God through his son Jesus. Now, what's interesting about Nicodemus having wealth and respect and religion, Jesus said to him in verse 3 of that same chapter, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Pretty awesome, isn't it? See, what you don't need is just another religion. What you don't need is ritual. What you do need is Jesus. If you're going to know God, then you need Jesus. And what you need in your life is a personal relationship with Jesus. And before you walk through this door, start this path, you need to be wise. And the wisest decision you can make is to accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior and give your life to him. That's where everything starts for us. Road sign number 3. Love God, love people. The great commandment, Matthew 22. Don't forget it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And some add with all your strength. You know what he's telling us? Not in time, but in priority, everything about us ought to be devoted to loving God. I mean, everything in everything that we do and all that we're a part of, we ought to love God with everything that we have. He ought to be first on every single list. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. He's just saying, take the love that you have for me and the love that I have for you, and then you share that love with the world. So love God and love people. Number 4, honor Jesus. And I want you to turn to this passage. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is kind of the passage that's been on my heart for this graduating class. In fact, when we talk about discovering God's will, and I say, listen, if you want to know God's will, it's always 5:15. One passage is Ephesians 5:15. The second passage is 2 Corinthians 5:15. And I want to start reading in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15. Listen to what he says. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Did you get that? And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Man, make it your aim in life, in whatever your pursuit, whatever direction you take, that you want to honor Jesus. In your attitude, in your conversation, in your conduct, in your relationships, in your decision, in everything that you do, you honor Jesus. Seek to honor Jesus. Number five, and this is something that I hope our parents will be doing, pray. Don't forget to pray. You know, I think there's two primary causes for students getting off track during college, and so many of them do. I mean, you have a good foundation, you're taught the right things, go off to college, and man, it's amazing what happens to college students. One is the environment that surrounds them. It's a very secular environment in colleges today. No matter what college you pick or choose, it gets kind of reckless and challenging. But it's a lot like the world, isn't it? The world when you go to work, when you step into a different environment outside of godly people, you find the world's pretty reckless. And then the other is because we forget to pray and read. We stop reading the scripture and we stop praying. We stop hearing God's voice and he stops hearing ours. And so Philippians chapter 4 has to be one of those road signs that simply says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Stay faithful in prayer. Day in and day out, pray. Number six, invest everything. Invest everything. There are two ways that you can live, two approaches to life. Number one is that you are determined to spend it. When my son was a little guy and he would do something around the house and you would give him an allowance, you put a $5 bill in his hand. The moment you would put it in his hand, it turned from green to red because it was hot. Man, he had to spend it. That thing had to go out the door. Man, this money was burning a hole in his hand and in his pocket. And that's the way some people live. Every time God gives you another day or another moment, I'm going to spend it. I'm going to spend it on what I want to do and the way I want to do it. That's spending your life. And I can tell you, when you spend your life, you ultimately waste your life. What you really need to do is you need to invest your life. You need to invest every moment of your life in something that matters. Now, years ago, I bought a book. It was called The Purpose-Driven Church by Rick Warren. And I was out in California, and I went by to see him to get him to sign my book. And he signed my book, and when he signed my book, he asked me, you know, while I was writing his name, he asked me what I was doing. I told him I was a pastor and all that. And under his name, he wrote a verse, Acts 13:36. And when I opened it up after I walked away, I looked at it, it said Acts 13:36. I didn't know what that said, and I had to go look it up. And I want to put it on the screen, and I want you to listen to it. Listen to what it said. For David, after he'd served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. I didn't really know what he was saying to me. When I first read that, I was thinking, is he saying that I look like I'm about to die? I mean, What is he saying? And so I had to go back and read the verse again, and I read the middle section of it, and he said, it says this, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation. I mean, out of all places on earth, you live here. Out of all times in eternity, you live now. God has put you here. And what he was saying to me and what he's saying to you from his word is this, serve the purpose of God in your life. Invest your life so that God will be glorified in it. Number seven, keep eternity in sight. keep eternity in sight. Man, so many times in life, especially after we pass through a new door and we got this new opportunity before us and all this, we get so caught up in the moment. We forget it's really not about the moment. It's really about eternity. And so we need to live in the moment, keeping eternity in mind, always keeping that in view. And in fact, Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He said, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Man, live in the moment wherever you are. Give it all you've got. But keep your eyes, always keep in view, there's an eternity. People are created to exist forever. We will live forever with God. And so, as you live out this moment, keep eternity in view. And number eight, and I want you to turn here. It's in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I want everybody to turn there. I want you to read it in your own Bible. And by the way, if you're a man here today, and I know ladies should read this too, but I can tell you, there should not be a man in this room that doesn't take every day, in every day, an opportunity to read the Proverbs. In fact, do what I do. There's 31 Proverbs. There's at most 31 days in the month. Every day, read the Proverb of the day. Read it. It has a lot to say to us. But listen to this. Buried in the middle of this section is the verse I want to talk about. But listen to this. Verse 20 says, Proverbs 4:20, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put away devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Now, you know what he's saying? He's saying, what I want you to do is I want you to guard the heart that I've given you. You guard what goes in so you can predict what's going to come out. And the way you guard your heart is you treasure this book. I say it all the time, but don't forget. I hope I said it enough that you will never forget it, that when you read this book, you hear God's voice. You keep your eyes on this. No matter what stage of life you're in, no matter what you're facing, what you're going through, you keep your eyes on this book. And you read it. And then you live according to it. And in the process, you keep your heart with all vigilance. Because out of your heart, everything else flows. Now, I want to close with this little poem. I'm not big on reading poems, but it has a lot to say in just a few words. It simply says this: the future lies before you like a field of driven snow. So, be careful how you tread it, for every step will show. Now, you may be here today, and you may not be graduating from high school or college, but you may be at a point of transition in your life. And it may be the struggle of that transition that's brought you to a very real need in your life, and that is the need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to have a personal relationship with God through His Son Jesus. In fact, that's the very reason that God has you here today, is that you will come to know God through His Son Jesus. And in just a minute, we have in our invitation, I just want to invite you to come and meet with one of our pastors. We're not going to embarrass you, not going to ask you to say anything in front of this group. Just tell them, listen, I want to know God, and I want to know Him through His Son, Jesus. And give us the opportunity to take you aside just a moment, open up this book, and share with you what God says about knowing His Son. Maybe today is the day that you experience the greatest gift in all the world, the gift of God's salvation through Jesus Christ, and you begin the greatest journey life has to offer, a life lived knowing Christ as your Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're facing a transition and you know Christ, but you're just wanting to know how to live for Him. And maybe as you thought about these eight little road signs, maybe a few of them are missing from your life. And maybe you've wandered off the path and you need to get back home. Listen, make this altar your home. Pray for God's wisdom. Ask Him to open your eyes and direct your steps so that in every way you may glorify and honor Him. Or maybe you've got somebody on your heart. Maybe you're a parent in this room and one of your children is graduating this year. What a great day to come to the altar and pray for them and ask God for the strength to make this commitment that every day this child lives, as I start my day, I'll pray for them as they start theirs.